Good morning. Pray everybody had a good week. We got to enjoy all that global warming out there, which is supposed to happen this week. I love it. If you have your Bible, we're in Romans 5. That's the first of the letters after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts. Luke, John, and Acts. We're taking a look at hope that won't bring you shame, hope that will not disappoint. In other words, sometimes people hope for stuff and it doesn't happen, as is evidenced by all the crazy people that buy lottery tickets, okay? They hope for stuff that's not going to happen to 99.999 whatever percent of them, okay? So if you have a Bible, we're in Romans 5 talking about the hope that will endure and that will not disappoint. Let's start by reading the first two verses. Because we're justified by faith, we stand in grace, and we rejoice in hope. Notice what it says there. He says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So he says, you guys got justified by grace, you're justified by faith, and because you got justified by faith, you can have peace with God, and you can stand in grace, and you can have hope. Okay, now, what all had to happen to sinful man so that we could have peace and have hope? Well, you had to be justified by faith. Faith in what? Faith in the fact that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Okay, him who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. And then you had to die to yourself and respond to that. You had to have enough faith. You say, okay, I'm going to give my life to you. I'm just going to think about it. I'm going to give my life to you. I'm going to surrender myself to you. See, you can't save you. I can't save me. I can't save you, but Jesus can save us. And so when we surrender to Christ, when we were died to ourselves, when we were baptized into Christ and raised to walk a new life, we entered into a covenant with God that we didn't have before we were born in Christ. And so a lot of things had to happen so that sinful man could have peace and have hope. Now, peace is a really cool word. Peace, the Greek word there, irene, peace means harmony. You know, when you sing and somebody else sings alto or sings tenor along with you, and it just kind of brings that up and makes that fuller, okay, that's harmony. When a husband and wife are nice to each other and enjoy being with each other and being kind to each other, they live in harmony. That's the word peace. Harmonious relationships. That's what peace is. And so he says, because you've been justified by faith, you can have peace with God, okay? And that peace is not just because you did it, it's because through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, through him you've also obtained access by faith into his grace. So you could have God's grace. Grace, easiest way to remember grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. God gives you his riches, but it costs Christ his life. You get salvation, you get the Spirit, you get all those blessings, but it is because Christ was willing to give his life. And we stand in grace. So, how would you describe your level of peace and hope? Well, I got peace, I think. You have to have peace. It says in James 3, verse 18, the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. In other words, if you want to have someone brought to Christ, if you have someone learn about Jesus, if you don't have peace in your life, your message doesn't have much oomph. But if you have peace with God, they want what you've got. If your relationship with God has allowed you to have peace, then when you share your message with them, it's more attractive because of your peace. So you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, okay? But here he says, you rejoice in that because we have the peace, but also that we have the hope. So how would they describe your level of hope? Oh, I know life's pretty bad. You know, look at all the political problems. Look at all the economic problems. Look at all the government problems, military problems. Look at all the crimes. Look, you know, I heard about this guy. He was talking about how bad things were to his buddy. Oh, about the crime and everything. After they talk about, you know, he says, I'm going to jump off this bridge. But, oh, no, don't do this. They talk. They talk about 15 minutes. After 15 minutes, they both jumped off. No, don't do that. In other words, if we're busy with that kind of an attitude, you know, complaining and stuff, we don't have much hope. Now, there's other people, they got hope. You got to have hope, right? I read the last chapter. Jesus is coming back. We win. He's taking us home to be with him in glory. We win. Now, are you one of the people that can see the dark cloud in every silver lining? In other words, are you the person that looks for the silver lining? Too often, I know people that they could just grump on anything. Whatever it is, they got something they can complain about. Right? He says we're supposed to be people of hope. Okay? When Paul's chained up in prison, what does he write 16 times to the church in Philippi? Rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He's chained up in prison. He's telling them to rejoice. When he's chained up in Acts 26, he tells the governor and Herod Agrippa II and Bernice and all of them up there, he says, man, I wish you could have all the blessings that I have, except for these chains. He was chained up, but he knew he was better off than they were because he had Jesus. Do you have that kind of hope? Okay, now that goes to the next question. Here's the hard question. Do your friends, do they think you have peace and do they think you have hope? Because their perception is pretty close, isn't it? If they think you're an old grump, guess what you are? You're an old grump. Okay? He says, I want you to be the light of the world, and you don't get that way by being an old grump. You get to be the light of the world by blessing people. You've heard me tell, you know, a lot of people you know can lighten up or brighten up a room just by leaving it. Okay? That's not where we're supposed to be. You're supposed to brighten up a room by entering it. You're supposed to be the light of the world. Act like it. And you don't do that. You can't be the light of the world without peace and without hope. Jesus came back, though. I just came the first time, and he is coming back. So we have hope. And because he came the first time and justified us, we have peace, right? And your peace is not in you. Your peace is in Christ. And your hope's not in you. It's in Christ also. But we're going to add to this hope. Of all the passages in the Word of God, the one that most often mentions hope is the one we're reading in Romans 5, 1 through 5. Three times you get the word hope in one passage, in one paragraph. Let's go on. Verses 2 and 3. We're going to read 2 again because all these verses kind of go together. Okay? We're going to do 1 and 2 and then 2 and 3 and then 3 and 4 and then 4 and 5. Okay? Because they all kind of just lead into the next one. See, Christianity is not just you do a bunch of things. They all kind of work together. Every part of the Christian life works together. So let's read 2 and 3. We rejoice in hope and also in our sufferings because they produce endurance. Look at verses 2 and 3. He says, through him we also have obtained access by faith into his grace, into this grace, in which we stand and we rejoice in hope in the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that our sufferings produce endurance. Okay? So he says, we rejoice in our hope, but we also rejoice. It's a lot easier to rejoice in hope. I mean, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ. That's real easy to rejoice in, right? 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. That's great stuff to rejoice in. He says, yeah, but you rejoice in your sufferings too. Now, not while you're going through it, okay? In Hebrews 12, verse 11, it says, no chastening for the present seems joyous but sorrowful, but afterwards to those who are trained by it, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So when you're going through it, you don't say, oh boy, I'm having a bad day. No, you don't do that, okay? But after you've been through it, you rejoice in that. You know why you rejoice in that? Because the people you most admire about their faith, about their peace, about their hope, are people that have been through the ringer and they made it, right? The people you look up to are the people that have been through hard times and they didn't quit. They didn't give up. And so you say, man, when that happens in my life, I can grow stronger. That can help me grow stronger as well. Okay? So how can we rejoice in our hope as we're rejoicing in our sufferings? Okay? In other words, my hope and rejoicing that Jesus comes back, that's good. But when I'm going through hard times, that's hard to do. But you have to understand that it's through those sufferings God makes you stronger. Jesus' little brother in James 1, verses 2 through 4 said, consider it pure joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith produces endurance. In James 1, just like in Romans 5, going through the hard times makes you grow stronger. That's what works physically. Okay? When we were on the, you know, I was a weight man on the track team. Yeah, you could tell I was a weight man. No, but it was supposed to be this kind of weight. But anyway, I was a weight man on the track team. And we had to lift. You couldn't count your weight that you bench pressed or that you military pressed or that you curled. You couldn't count the weight until you'd done it 12 times. Because he wanted repetition, repetition, repetition. Okay? And so you'd have to do 12 bench presses before you could count your weight. You had to do 12 of the military. But that endurance made us stronger, right? RT, we won second in the Mansfield relay, you know, because we were stronger. It makes you stronger because of that. So you rejoice in your suffering, knowing that going through the hard times makes you stronger. Now, what has to happen for your suffering to produce endurance? Okay, when my boy went in the Air Force up in Minot, he couldn't take his weights with him. So he gave them to me. So I had like hundreds of pounds of barbells. Hundreds of pounds of barbells in my garage. And I had those things in there for years. They didn't make me a bit stronger because I didn't ever pick them up. I had all these weights, but I didn't pick them up. Right? When you go through hard times, but you don't do the right thing when you're going through hard times, you didn't pick up the weights. When you go through hard times in your life and you messed up, it didn't make you stronger. Messing up doesn't make you stronger. But when you go through hard times and you still did the right thing, even though you're going through hard times, it makes you stronger. So when you go through, that's what builds the endurance. You want to have endurance, then you've got to, and you want to have the hope that comes from endurance, then you've got to be doing what's right when hard times happen. So he said in verse 3, he says that we rejoice in suffering that produces endurance. Now, our suffering produces endurance, and then our endurance produces character, and then our character produces hope. Look at verse 3 and 4. He says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Okay? So, notice the progression. What's so admirable about men and women of proven character? Okay? Men and women of proven character don't just feel like this is the right thing to do. Oh, don't we just love those people and we care about God? No, I'm not going to help them out. Yeah, we really care about them. No, I'm not going to give them anything. Yeah, no, I'm not going to go over that. No, if you really... Character is the person that puts the righteousness of God into practice in their lives. Okay? I came home from a hospital last September with a sore chest, a sore neck, sore everything, okay, from the car wreck. And some nice brother came over and just mowed my yard because he loved me with a push mower. That whole yard, 3 times. Owe him bad. Okay? Other people, you know, like I said, Brandon yesterday, he saved our bacon, helping out over there at Mark's house and at his new house. Okay? And so he put it into practice. People of character, they're people who don't just think what's the right thing to do, they put it into practice. They put skin and bones on it. Okay? They put righteousness into practice in their lives. Jesus didn't just say, yeah, they got dirty feet. No, he got down and washed them. He served. He put into practice. So why is it so important to have a hope that grows out of proven character? I mean, we had a hope up in verse 2. The hope up in verse 2 came from the peace that we have with God because we've been justified by grace, justified by faith, right? But there's another aspect of hope. That this aspect of hope isn't just the one that comes because you've been saved and Jesus is coming back. This is a hope that grows out of a proven character. See, your character is who you are when nobody's watching. See, if people are watching, oh yeah, here, let me hold the door for you. Here, let me do this, help me do that. But if nobody's around, hey, suck it up in color. No, I know a kindergarten teacher, she didn't really say that, but it was a temptation. Okay. But I mean, the idea is when you have character, that's the way you live when nobody's watching. So the character, it's supposed to develop hope. Well, we already had hope because of Jesus. Yeah, that's one aspect of hope. There's another aspect of hope, and this one comes from your proven character. In other words, when you're living for Jesus, when you're living the walk, you're walking with Christ, you're teaching, you're serving, you're speaking the truth in love, and you're growing up into Him who's the head in all things, even Christ, Ephesians 4:15. Okay, when that's happening in your life, character develops. People ask something, and you're the person that's there. When they think of somebody that could help out, they call you first. Okay, because you develop that character. That's the kind. Well, there's a hope that springs from that. In other words, when you're living for Jesus, when you're putting it into practice, then you're praying more, aren't you? You're studying God's word, aren't you? You're helping other people about Jesus. Okay, you're helping people who are having a hard time. You're helping them get through it. You're listening to people and just comforting. You're doing what Christ would do on the earth. We are the body of Christ. What's the hope of glory, the hope for the world, okay? He says, Christ in you is the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. You are the body of Christ. Well, when you're putting it into practice, then you're being the body of Christ. Did Jesus get to go home? Yeah, because he's Jesus. Well, when you have proven character in your life, you get to go home because you're the body of Christ. You see how that works? We're supposed to be the body of Christ, and that's not going to happen without proven character. But when you are the body of Christ gets to go home, right? They were, remember in Acts chapter 1, they're talking with Jesus, and he says, you're going to be my witnesses. First, your power is going to come on you when you receive the Spirit, and you'll be my witnesses first in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then the uttermost part of the earth. And while he's talking with them, he just starts rising up in the air. And they're all going, remember that? They're just kind of going, and then these two guys in white apparel show up and say, why are you looking up? Well, duh, what would you be doing? Okay, if I'm talking to somebody who rise up in the air, I'm going to watch. Okay, so they had that. They seen that. So they saw Jesus went home because he's Jesus and you're the body of Christ. So when you have that character in your life, there's a hope that you have that you don't have when you don't have that character. Okay, when you talk a good fight, but you don't live it, that's one thing. But when you're living for Jesus and your character shows you're living for Jesus, there's a hope you have you can't have without doing that. Truth? Now, do we all sin and fall short of the glory of God? Yep. Is there none righteous? No, not one? Yep. Okay. But can we live lives closer and closer to the nature of Jesus Christ? That's the goal of our Christian life. And when you have that character, there's a hope that comes out of that that doesn't come any other way. But we're not done. Something else comes out of that, which is verses 4 and 5. Oh, I got one more question here. Now, what needs to change for others to view you as a person of proven character? That's a tough question to ask. Do you want other people to view you as a person of proven character? Do you view other people as people of proven character? Yeah. They can't fake it, can they? They have to be genuine, don't they? You've got to be that person. So when they see you living that out, then you're a person of proven character. If you're not living it out, they're not seeing it. So what has changed? You got to live it out. Okay? You be true to your word. You help. You bless. You be there for God. And I don't know if you know, read the Bulletin article today. We have two people in this congregation in their 90s. Last Sunday, we had snow and ice on the road, but it was the first time we got to come back. Remember? First time we had 2 weeks off because we were in a snow emergency. All right? And the first Sunday we got to come back was last Sunday. We got two people in their 90s, and they're both here. Now we got three people in their 90s here today. Okay? Isn't that awesome? So you live for God. You live for God. Okay. Now, we need to develop a hope that will not bring us shame. Now, NIV says disappoint, so that's where the title came from. But the Greek word is the word for shame with a prefix that is the word down. To shame down. This is deep shame. Okay? Now, with that in mind, let's read the verses, verse 4 and 5. He says, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Okay? When you live with this character, it says it doesn't put you to shame. Now, why does a lack of pure hope why does that bring deep shame? Because pure hope comes from proven character. And if you don't have the proven character, you can't have the pure hope. So if you don't have the pure hope, then that means you didn't have the character, and so there's deep shame. When people see you messing up in your life, how does that feel? Bugs life out of you, doesn't it? They look at you and you feel like they're seeing right through you. Okay, I had a lady baptized years ago, and she was $3,700 in debt to her bookie when I baptized her. And I thought I got her to quit gambling, and she did for a while. But, months later, she said, Jack, I went back to my bookie and I bought, she says, I felt real guilty. I said, good. I want you to feel guilty when you mess up. And you want to feel guilty when you mess up. Because if you don't feel guilty when you mess up, you're in trouble. You don't have a conscience. You're in bad trouble. You got to have a con. When you mess up, it ought to bug you. You've got to know what's right and what's wrong. And when you've done what's wrong, you need to be shamed. And so if you don't have proven character, you don't have the hope, the pure hope that comes from it. And so it shames you deeply because you know you're supposed to be a Christian. See, when the story on this one is in Luke 23. Maybe it's Luke 22. I think it's 23. It's 23. Anyway, no, it's the end of Luke 22. I was wrong. It's Luke 22. Peter is warming his hands by the fire in the courtyard of Annas and Caiaphas, the high priest. And while he's in there, a lady comes up and a servant girl, she says, didn't I see you with Jesus in the garden? Oh, no, not me. And he denied Jesus. And then again he denied Jesus. And the third time it says he called down curses. Said, oh, blankety blank, I don't know the man. And just as he said that, two things happened. Jesus walked out and saw him. Their eyes met, and a rooster started crowing. What had Jesus said the night before? Before a rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times. And it says, and Judas went out and wept bitterly. Right? Now, when I deny Jesus, I don't have character. You don't deny Jesus. I'm a Christ follower. And if I don't get invited to your parties because I'm a Christ follower, I'm a Christ follower anyway. If I don't get the promotions at work because I'm a Christ follower, I'm a Christ follower anyway. Because when I decide to not act like a Christ follower, because of the pressure, because I don't want to go through those things, I want to just leave the weights in my yard, leave them in my garage and not lift them up. No proven character happens. No hope comes. I want to have that hope. Okay, I'd rather have that hope than the deep shame that comes when I don't lift the weights, when I don't lift the trials. So, what's going to help us develop a pure hope that grows out of pure proven character? You got to lift the weights. You got to serve people. You got to tell people about you. You got to live the Christian life. We are the body of Christ on the earth. Let each member, it says in Ephesians 4, verse 16, each member is supposed to supply their part to the body of Christ. Okay? We're supposed to all build up the body of Christ because each member does their part. And if you don't do your part, you're not going to grow in character because you're not lifting the weights. You're not going through the endurance. Okay, so last, just verse 5 alone. God pours out his love through his Spirit to those who have this hope. If you've got that hope, he can pour love into you in a way he can't pour love into people that don't have that hope. Okay? He says in verse 5, he says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. You know why hope doesn't disappoint you? Because God just fills you up with love. And it's not just your love, it's his love. See, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, all that stuff. That is not the most love you can come up with. It's way more than that. It's his love developing in you. He pours out his love into your heart. And I believe that Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says the Spirit, because there's no punctuation in the Greek, but it is grammatically, the Bible is grammatically correct. So when it says the fruit of the Spirit is, then it's something singular. And I think the fruit of the Spirit is love. And I think you put a colon there. And that love has to have joy and peace and patience and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and kindness. All of those aspects have to be in that love for it to be his love. His love has joy. His love has peace. His love has endurance, patience. His love has kindness. His love has goodness. His love has gentleness. And finally, his love has faithfulness. All of those are aspects of his love. And he says he pours out his love into the people who have proven character, and that proven character has developed hope. That's the people he pours his love into. I want his love in me. Okay? You want his love in you. And so it comes into those people who have this character. And it's not your love. It's better than your love. It's not my love. It's way better than my love. It's his love living through you because we are the body of Christ. So, what does an honorable hope have to do with God's love being poured into us? Because it's his love and he wants it in his kind of people. And he wants us to be his kind of people. He wants us putting his life into practice on the earth today. Jesus still wants to walk around on the earth today. He just wants to use your legs. He wants to serve people on the earth today. He just wants to use your hands. He wants to encourage people on the earth today. He just wants to use your tongue. He wants to listen and comfort people today, so he wants to use your ears. Okay, he wants to live on the earth. And so that's why he pours his love into people who have this honorable hope. Now, how's your hope? Allowing the Spirit to pour God's love in your heart. Are you that person that rejoices and builds up and encourages, and you just bless people to the point that they just like being around you? The seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. As you're speaking the truth in love, you're growing up into him who's the head in all things, even Christ. That's what we're to be, right? Is that you? Does that describe you? Do you want that to describe you? Do you have hope? Do you have this hope? I want that hope. Whatever will help me have that, a lot of it, you just have to put it into practice. Okay? If you can't, you say, well, Jack, I just can't think the right things. You know how it says in Philippians 4? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are right, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Philippians 4, verse 8. You say, well, Jack, sometimes I just can't think my way through it. Cheat. Read the next verse. What's it say in verse 9? It says, and the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen, learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Put it into practice. If you put it into practice, then the God of peace will be with you. If you put it into practice, then you start developing this. Then that life of proven character is such that God wants to pour his Spirit and his love into your life. Because he says, I can work through that one. I can work through that one. He wants to work through all of us. Okay? And our job is to let him pour out his love into our hearts by putting it into practice. So, our call to action today is to develop an honorable hope that receives the love of God. I thought that was such a cool picture. God wants to pour his love into us to make us grow. Our hearts have to be softened to that. They have to be amenable to that. We have to let him allow his nature to spring up from within us. So, how strong is your assurance of salvation in Christ? Justified by faith in Christ, we have all of this. Do you know you've been justified by Christ? Do you know that he gave his life for you? Do you know that you gave your life to him and entered into a covenant with him when you were buried with him by baptism into death? Have you stayed true to that covenant? Okay? Do you know? Do you have that assurance? Now, how consistently are you rejoicing in hope? Okay? Everybody remembers Eeyore, right? The donkey? Eeyore, oh, bother. Okay. Yeah, old Eeyore. That's and some people go through life like Eeyore. Oh, bother. All right? Now, I tell people, we're supposed to be Tigger. Okay? We're supposed to be bouncy, bouncy. You know, life is really good. Jesus is coming back. He's taking us home. He gave us the blessings. You're supposed to have hope. You're supposed to have peace. He did all this so we'd have hope and have peace. How consistently are you rejoicing in hope? Is that your character? Is that your default setting? Now, how are you rejoicing in your maturing trials? The trials of man? No, not at the time, Hebrews 12, verse 11, but afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And so, are you glad that you've been through those hard times? No. I didn't want my grandbaby to die. Didn't want my mom to get cancer. Didn't want a lot of things to happen. But when you go through hard times, it makes you stronger, right? Now, how deeply do you desire proven Christian character? I want to live for Jesus. I want to be known as one of those Christ followers. We're those crazy people on North Court Street who believe Jesus is bodily raised from the dead and wants to live through us. And we believe he's coming back to take us home. Now, what are you doing so that your lack of hope will not bring you shame? That's what we talked about. In this lesson, the people that had that were not shamed. The people who didn't have that were shamed. I don't want to be shamed here, but most importantly, I don't want to be shamed eternally. I want that hope. Do you have that hope? If you've not yet surrendered your life to Christ, you don't have that hope. You can't save you. I can't save you. So, is your hope allowing God to pour his love into your heart? I know people, and you know people, who don't seem to have God's love poured in their heart. I know other people that are just full of it, full of his love, okay? That they're just full of his love because they just can't help it. That's their nature. They're just a hug waiting to happen. They're a blessing waiting to happen. They just want to bless you. Christ is living on the earth through them. You want that to be thought of you. You want people to see you that way. That's got to be true of us. And they're not stupid. It's only going to happen if we're living that way. Are you living that way? Is God's love being poured into your heart? Okay? Is your hope allowing God to pour his love into your heart? If you're not, how can we help you? Okay? If you are, how can we help it happen more? Okay? We want to help you. If you're not yet in Christ, we want you to be our brother and sister in Christ. We didn't make up the rules. We don't have any church doctrine here. Okay? Our doctrine is the person of Jesus Christ. And he began his ministry by being baptized. And when he sent out the apostles, they did the same thing. All 10 conversions in the book of Acts, they're baptized into Christ. That's what you do. It's wet, it's messy, it's humbling, but he chose wet and messy and humbling. I know a lot of churches don't teach it, but I don't want to teach something because some church teaches. I want to teach it because Jesus lived it. We are the body of Christ. If you've already been baptized into Christ and you haven't been true like you need to be true, when trials come, you left the weights on the garage floor. Didn't make you stronger. Whatever your need is, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.